Well, Butch, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. How did you first meet Jim?
I watched Jim play music over the years with various bands,
right.
many of whom the players I knew. Mm-hmm. So we knew each other tangentially that way.
Because you've been a long time guy in music around here. You've been a producer.
I've been around this music scene for some time.
Right.
So I came over here one day to Virginia Voice to see if they needed volunteers after I saw an article that said Jim was the executive director. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's really interesting. My aunt had been an avid listener of Virginia Voice,
okay.
one of my aunts. So I was familiar with the format to some mm-hmm. degree. When I came over, they actually didn't need any more volunteers, but they asked me to come to a party, which I did. And I ran into my old friend, Tina Egge, whose daughter and my daughter have been friends and still are since
yeah.
high school.
Yeah.
So after talking with Jim and kind of getting the feel of the lay of the land of Virginia Voice, he said, well, create something. So I said, but I'd like to do a story about music news that the audience of Virginia Voice could appreciate.
Yeah. Like a regular show about music.
A regular show about music, but not modern music, because the audience for Virginia Voice is not modern.
It's older.
It's older.
Yeah.
I'm older.
Right, right.
And so I kind of did a study of the demographic of the audience, and then I go online every week and find stories about Cole Porter or Bing Crosby or Ella Fitzgerald, or
right.
whomever fits into the notch that their audience could appreciate.
Oh, I know Jim was overjoyed at that idea.
He was, and he was a big supporter, and thanks to he and Hannah, that show was launched about 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been just a great thing to do the research during the week and then to provide the music. So Jim is the kind of guy that doesn't turn you loose. I told him when I first came aboard, I wanted to work. I wanted to be a volunteer. I didn't want to be in leadership. I just wanted to do
yeah,
a job.
Do something creative.
So I started volunteering, and I did it all the time that I was allowed, which is about an hour a week, every Thursday at 1 o'clock. And Jim finally corralled me one day. And if you remember Jim's ability to extract your money from yourself to his cause.
Right.
He accidentally did such a thing, and I ended up being a contributor to the Virginia Reynolds campaign.
Okay.
Which was a great campaign that he had launched himself before I came on board. And he was just that kind of guy. He could extract anything from you, and you didn't even know it. You just said yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Jim finally at one point said, well, I really would think that you would be a good board member. And I said, Jim, I told you from day one, I don't want to be a board member.
Yeah.
Within 2 or 3 weeks, he had me as a board member. So you can't say no to Jim Work.
Right, right. Talk about, you know, people have been talking about his unique ability to collaborate with others and to bring others together. That's an example. He's bringing you in. He's using your talents and bringing those into Virginia Voice. But speak to that. How important is that to have someone who's really able to collaborate without dominating?
Well, he was a dynamo. I mean, he was the quiet, charismatic, benevolent dictator. he could make you work, and you didn't realize you were doing so many things at once.
Yeah.
And I found that out to be true in two or three of the early board meetings. He was such a convincing man. And such an inspiration to all of us. It's going to be a really hard job to compete with Jim Work, and I really feel sorry for the next director. They have big, big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we will find someone, and I'm sure the active members of this organization will pitch in double time to make mm-hmm. sure we all go forward in the direction that Jim had led us
yeah,
all
yeah.
those years.
Well, you have a good template, right?
We do. We absolutely have a good template. I remember Jim for a number of things, but I think his unbelievable wit was just so charming. In one of our last board meetings, we had a very technical board meeting. There was a consultant there, and we went through electronic displays to analyze the future focus of the Virginia Voice. Mm-hmm. So it was a long and technical board meeting, and Jim brought some wine and beer that we could enjoy some point during or after. And his quote was, and I never forget this, I think about it often, he quoted a band leader that he used to work with about this wine and beer. And he said, drinking is not encouraged, it's required. So that's my favorite Jimism.
Right, right. Speak a little bit about his musical ability. You're a music guy. It always amazed me the diversity that he had within his musical world. Well, bubblegum, rockabilly.
No, it was. And, you know, Chrome Daddy Disco and then playing pure rock and roll 50s style stuff to some of the groups like the Show Dogs back in the day. They were kind of trying to be more saloon-oriented pop music.
Yeah, roots.
Roots, absolutely. He could pick up a guitar, not have a lyric sheet, not have any kind of words, or excuse me, not having any kind of notes to read, and just blend right in.
Yeah.
One of my best friends is a guy named Dan Martyr, who's in the Wall-O-Matics, and Paul Keevil, Carson Huggins. And Jim played with them off and on for decades. And that's where I heard him, because that's really a spontaneous band. And he could pick it up and lead it. And I was watching some video online, because there's so much video online about Jim now. And when he was practicing at Bruce Olson's studio for the celebration of party for the Show Dogs leader.
Billy Ray Hatley.
Yeah. Thank you. And he led those guys. If you go online and watch it, he took the songs and he created the mood. And all those talented guys kind of followed his lead. Especially Mike McAdam, who was singing the lyrics.
Right.
And he took that and watched, if you watch it, he led it into its final incarnation.
Yeah. And I would just say to anyone listening, go to YouTube and you'll see some amazing footage of Jim work on stage and in rehearsal.
When I first started working got to know Jim, I was at the Folk Festival a couple of years ago, and he sat in with this crazy Memphis Jerry Lee Lewis type performer.
Yeah. Rockabilly.
Rockabilly or something.
Yeah.
And I videoed it to some degree, and I gave him copies of that when we first got together. And he was delighted.
Right.
Just delighted.
It was he was our secret weapon on the Folk Festival programming committee.
So I've learned.
Because he could help program the thing, but hey, he could also sit in if you had to.
You just blended right in like he'd been with the band for decades.
Right. Anything else? Any other memories or any other thoughts on Jim?
No more than what we've already talked about. He was just a generous and kind and human being. Mm-hmm. And it was just a pleasure to be around someone you wanted to be around and someone whose comments of direction were always comments of affection. Mm. The way that he dealt with the other board members and the other volunteers and other band members in his life.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Butch.
You're welcome.